Hello, and welcome back to the He's Going Back podcast. I am your host, Jamie, and today's person of interest is Willie Horton. I would like to take you back to July 23rd, 1967, when a young Willie Horton sees smoke from behind Tigers Stadium, where race riots had started. Now, after the game, he ran out into the streets of Detroit and shouted at people to go back home and quit destroying the city. This is a city that he grew up in, got to play for, had a family here, so he cared deeply about the city and hated to see it get torn apart. I think that really shows his character and who he was and how much he really cared. So he was born October 18th, 1942. He was the youngest of 14, which in those times probably wasn't as crazy as it is today, but that is still a lot of children. I have two, and that's plenty. I couldn't imagine another 12. So Willie Horton, he was known as a big slugger. He played left field, and he was a home run hitter. That's what he did, and that's what they paid him for. That's not to be confused. He had a relatively good batting average in his career with .273. He hit 325 home runs and 1,993 hits. So a pretty solid career. He played for 18 years. 15 of them are in Detroit, 2 in Seattle, a full year in Texas, and 50 games in Cleveland, 33 in Toronto, 32 in Oakland. Now, Cleveland, Toronto, and Oakland was all in 1 year, which was 1978. So towards the end of his career, just kind of got bopped around a little. So really, his career pretty much begins and ends in Detroit from 1963 to 1977 and a half, when he was traded before the deadline to Texas. What's interesting with him was he went to high school in Detroit, and they scouted him there and found him, and they signed with the Tigers in 1961, straight out of high school. He had played a game in Tiger Stadium when he was a junior in high school and hit a home run there. So that kind of got everyone's attention, and I mean, everyone in the area knew who he was. He was a big deal before he even made the pros. An interesting fact through his book, which was 23, Detroit's Own Willie the Wonder. It was a very good book. I really enjoyed it. He was a huge leader in the civil rights movement, especially in Detroit, especially, you know, playing in the 60s and just growing up there. A tragedy happened to him in 1965, very early in his career. Both of his parents had died in a car wreck on New Year's Day. He talked about that he kind of had a weird upbringing, living with higher members in the community, I believe a judge. And that was done to help him get into higher end high schools and just really hone in on what he was going to do with his life and playing baseball. It wasn't that his parents got out of the picture or anything, but the judge had custody of him. His best season came in 1968 with 36 home runs, 85 RBI, .285 average, and an .895 OPS. He finished fourth in the MVP ballots. But probably the highlight of the 68 season was the Tigers won a World Series, and he was a starter in left field for them and helped get him there, helped bring home the ring. He was a four-time All-Star. I don't know how to describe his career. It was solid. A very, very good career. Nothing to laugh at or anything. But besides that 68 season, he never had a jump-off-the-page year. In that season, he accumulated 5.4 WAR, which is a great season by all standards. So his second best behind that was in 67, he had 3.5. So from 67 to 68 was a pretty big jump. And I think you very much could argue that that was a big reason for the 68 World Series ring. I mean, to get that kind of production from a guy extra is huge. Now, the Tigers do have a statue of him at Comerica Park, and the number 23 is retired for him. So he obviously meant a ton to the city and to the Tigers. He loved the previous owners of the Tigers, the Ilitches. He had a good relationship with them, and he really said how much the owners cared about the city and how they wanted to improve it and how much they really wanted to win. So he kind of had a resurgence of a career when he went to Seattle in 1979. He kind of bounced around, didn't really do much. But in 79, sorry, when he went to Seattle at 36, he played a full season, hit 279, hit 29 home runs. And he ended up with the nickname the Ancient Mariner. I mean, that's a pretty solid season by a 36-year-old on a new team. And he talked about kind of leading the charge of, you know, a leadership role, being the veteran player, and really enjoyed that. He talked about that when he got into coaching, which he didn't do much of, which was kind of surprising. It sounded like he really enjoyed that. He had managed a team in a South American league and really enjoyed that. He was a coach for the Yankees at one point. Not really much to do with that. No one really gave him a chance, it seemed like. But he always stayed as an advisor and helper for the Tigers, sitting with the owners and communicating with general managers. He really had an eye for the game and talent, and really wanted to help and see the Tigers do well forever. I mean, he's still involved, still wants to help where he can. I really enjoyed hearing Willie's story. It was, you know, he didn't spend very much time in the minors. Huge prospect out of high school. Kind of got the hype and lived up to it. People loved him in Detroit. Being from the city, knowing the city, playing for the Tigers. I mean, it was a match made in heaven for Willie and the Tigers. And the city. Like I said, when he jumped on that car in the 67 riots, people listened to him. They escorted him out of there because it was dangerous and a lot of people there to just cause trouble. But he wanted to remind people that this was a city they lived in and loved. One of the things he talked about was starting in the minors was there was still segregation in spring training. And for much of his early career, wasn't able to stay with the team in hotels, wasn't able to eat with them. And that was kind of surprising to me. I guess I never really thought about it. Or, you know, Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier 14 years earlier. To hear his side of the stories of things of, yeah, he did that and he was allowed to play, but he wasn't treated equally at all. And some of his teammates stood by him and they would go to eat with him in white or black. He says how the Tigers at the time didn't really have a very good black presence. And the previous owner made it well known that he did not want black players to play on the team. And they were very late. They were the second team behind the Red Sox to have a black player. And that's just crazy. I mean, it wasn't all sunshines and rainbows, that's for sure. Even as much as Jackie Robinson did, I mean, players were still fighting it into the 70s. I mean, they did a great job, and Jackie Robinson did a lot. And it is nice to hear how they kept it going. Because he obviously dealt with a lot of hate, a lot of death threats, and just idiots trying to bring him down and not agreeing with him even playing on the team. He would talk about how he would see younger black athletes coming up in the Tigers system, getting kind of pushed aside just for some white guys. In any battle, 50-50 battle, was always leaned white. And it bothered him to see that, and he would speak up when he could. But I mean, you gotta think, at 20 when he made his debut. He didn't have a... He didn't have any strings to pull. He was just trying to have a job in professional baseball. So he couldn't really, you know, be this voice of reason or trying to change the game. He just... It bothered him, but, you know, at the end of the day, he got to play in the Tigers and performed well. So this 68 World Series ended up going 7 games. He batted .304, an OPS of 1.013, which is amazing. Walked 5 times, 3 RBIs. So the 1968 World Series was a battle between the Detroit Tigers and the St. Louis Cardinals. St. Louis Cardinals being a dynasty of the time, with Bob Gibson pitching lights out for them. Bob Gibson losing the game 7, which was crazy for the time. I believe that was Bob Gibson's first loss in a World Series game. So the Tigers ended up winning 4-1 in game 7. So they were down in the series 3-1. They lost game 1, lost game 3, lost game 4. So they had to win 3 in a row to pull it off, and they did. A lot of great pitching by Mickey Lolich and Danny McClain. Now, these pitchers were good friends of his, and he really liked Danny McClain and talked about the good times they had and all that. Another big presence on those teams with him was Al Kaline. Talked about how professional he was, how nice he was, and just a great overall leader of the locker room. He wasn't a very vocal leader or get on guys, but he was a lead by example guy of how to be a professional, how to handle media, how to play the game, how to last a long time in the league and play at a high level. He also talked about Norm Cash. I mean, there's the list of these 60s Tigers were nuts, to be honest. And for me, it was interesting to learn about Willie Horton. I never had really heard about him. I'd never heard about him until I found the book. And when I read about him, I was very surprised in who he was as a man and who he was as a player. And it was very impressive. So for the card that I ended up purchasing was a 1966 Topps PSA 4.5. Nothing fancy, but I just wanted to get an early 60 card of his. I liked the look of it. I like getting them younger in their career. I don't know why. So that's about all I have for today, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode on Willie Horton.